This time on episode 259 of Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., we discuss The Punisher, Season 1, Episode 3, Kandahar, and the weekly Marvel news.
I'm Jeannie from Tyrion's Landing, a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You have been granted clearance by Director Alfonso Mack McKenzie. Stand by for a S.H.I.E.L.D. debriefing. All information to be discussed here is classified and may only be discussed among agents granted clearance by the S.H.I.E.L.D. director.
Now it's time for your scheduled debriefing. I'm Director SP.
I'm Agent Haley.
And I'm Consultant Michelle.
Welcome to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., a Marvel Comic Universe fan show. This show is recorded on Sunday, October 21st, 2018, live from the Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. studios and broadcast worldwide via www.geeks.live. Come on in and join our live chat as we record. Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a fan-based podcast on the ABC television show Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., now in the 22nd hiatus week following the season 5 finale, the multiple Marvel Netflix series, and the Marvel cinematic and comic book universes in general.
Because of killing for concert tickets.
If you'd like to talk to us about all the people you've killed for concert tickets and which concerts, you can visit our website, legendsofshield.com, where you'll find all of our contact information.
If you want to leave us a message about the best birthday present you've ever gotten, you can leave us a voicemail at 844-THE-BUS-1. That's 844-843-2871.
You can share your kill and concert photos on our Facebook page, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Podcast.
You can find us on Twitter at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.
You can find our videos where we won't discuss what you'll see on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/GunnaGeek.
You can tell your Amazon device to enable Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. skill.
And no matter how ashamed of us they are, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a proud member of the GunnaGeek.com network.
Yes, proud enough to have a special little niche and an announcement, which we will be making next week. Agent Lauren is not with us today. She needed to take the night off, and I granted her the night off, so she will be back next week.
I wasn't told we got PTO.
You've been taking quite a bit of PTO lately, so whether or not you realize you had it, you've been taking it.
True story.
All right. In the meantime, we're going to get on with the main event of this podcast, which is Punisher, Kandahar. The Punisher aired all 13 episodes, and they didn't really air it, but it was placed on Netflix on November 17th, 2017. Season 2 is set to air sometime in 2019, so we're a little bit ahead of the game this time. Haley, who directed this episode of Kandahar?
This was directed by Andy Goddard, who has 30 directing credits starting in 1998. Those credits include 6 episodes of Torchwood, 1 of Doctor Who, 5 of Downton Abbey, 1 Daredevil, 1 Iron Fist, 2 episodes of The Punisher, and 2 episodes of Luke Cage, RIP.
We will be talking about that RIP statement a little bit later in the show. Now, Michelle, who wrote this episode of Kandahar?
This episode was written by Steve Lightfoot, has 13 writing credits starting in 2004. Including 20 episodes of Hannibal, RIP Hannibal, 1 Narcos, and 4 of The Punisher. He's also the creator and executive producer of the show, and The Punisher is based on the Marvel comics by Jerry Conway, John Romana Sr., and Ross Andrew.
Haley, it's been a while since you've been on the show, but we usually, when you're on here...
I here last week?
We talked to you about the title of the show and what it means to the actual theme of the show. So regardless of whether you were here last week or not, would you like to enlighten us on what Kandahar means?
I'll enlighten you on a lot of things, SP. So Kandahar obviously is in Afghanistan. It's where Frank did all of the things that he regrets, which are kind of driving the story forward. And along with Frank's regrets, we get What's-His-Face's regrets as well in this episode. It's kind of the things that both of them did that cost them their family. And it's kind of setting up the relationship these two men are going to have going forward, I assume. I haven't seen anything beyond this.
Lieberman / Micro, or are you talking Billy Russell?
Yeah, that guy.
Okay.
Micro. That guy. The guy that was tied to the chair.
Naked. But he got away. I mean, he used his mind against Frank. Yeah.
Man, that chair must be nasty by now.
I mean, it was probably pretty nasty to start with.
But then he's naked and then getting water dumped on him.
Yeah, but like, you know, he just spent like 18 hours a day sitting in that chair anyways. Like, it was already kind of raunchy.
At least it was one of those standard faux leather office chairs where you can wipe it down really quick.
That's true, because if it was one of those cloth ones, that would be really nasty and moldy and, oh, yuck.
Some stank you can't wipe away.
As Haley can tell from experience. We actually got a lot of flashbacks in this episode back to Afghanistan, specifically Kandahar. So we got a lot of the backstory about what exactly happened these guys in their last days in country. And we saw how everything basically fell apart from the colonel on down, including Mr. What do they call him? Agent Orange? The CIA guy?
Yeah, Agent Orange.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Agent Orange, who was in charge of everything. And he was just smug throughout the whole thing. I don't know if I was him, if I would have been that smug when the team came back broken, bruised, obviously dead, bringing back some members that were dead. I don't know if I would have been that smug on, did you kill the target?
Yeah, I was really happy when Frank decked him being like that.
I was surprised that the others protected him, though.
Protected the CIA guy?
Yeah.
They weren't really protecting him. They were protecting Frank.
Yeah, they pulled Frank away so Frank wouldn't kill him.
Right. And this is all in relation to Operation Cerberus, which was not actually an operation, was not authorized by Congress, as Micro told us later. So Frank was basically turned into a hired gun, a mercenary.
They all were, including Russo. We see Frank and Russo, how they work together, and just how Frank read that last situation where he's like, you know, the locals see us as the American Taliban. I bet you this is a trap. It just seems too good to be true. We should do this. We should do that. And of course, Agent Orange and everything was like, no, you're going to do it this way. And then you cut to all those wounded and they're ready to go home in about less than a month, including Frank. And he does his one man clearing the path through the house. And to me, I almost wonder if that's actually the planting of the seed of him becoming the Punisher. I mean, he's just using a gun, his fist. He gets shot in the shoulder. Then eventually he uses a knife and then a rock. He's just this one-man killing machine going through that house.
That was pretty amazing, just watching him go through. And he really just didn't have anything to lose. He actually had everything to lose because he was trying to get home to his family. But he didn't have anything else to lose at that point, and he had to do it in order to make a path to figuratively and literally get home to his family. So he had some motivation to go ahead and do that. And everybody that he was there for, everybody that he was fighting with for that previous year was all around. And he kind of took it on himself as well, because as we find out during this episode, he argued against this mission because it was basically an ambush or at least a killing field waiting to happen. And that's exactly what happened to them. So he was motivated all the way around, and it was brutal. It was something that was quite amazing that he was able to pull off by himself, but he was able to do it. And I would agree, if he hasn't done it before, this would definitely be the first Punisher fight in Frank Castle's life. What do you think about that, Haley?
Maybe. I mean, we don't know that for sure. We don't know what kind of missions they were going on in the year before this, so it might not be. It's just the first one, the earliest one in his timeline that we've seen.
Well, when Billy and Curtis are talking, they talk about how each time, you know, it was rough for him to come back, but he seemed to be like, okay, and then, all right. But then they talk about how that last time he just was never the same. So I do wonder, I mean, I think things were horrible, but I do think when they became part of Cerberus, this unsanctioned, you know, heroin trafficking, Plano assassin squad, I really do think that this is the moment where he kind of broke. And I think this is probably the first time he was this severe, this one-man army, and ending up clobbering a guy with a rock so hard and so much that his face is covered in blood.
Yeah, I'll agree with you, Michelle, because I think all of their operations were textbooked up to this point because they planned well. They were expert operators. They knew their ingress, egress. They knew what their specific job was, their target, so to speak, was the whole time. And this was the first time that they were at odds in the planning stage that we saw, at least. And I'm assuming everything went well up to this point. That is an assumption, I'll grant you, Haley, but I think this is the first time that Frank was like this. Although we haven't seen Frank before he came part of Project Cerberus, so we don't know what sort of operations he was from there. But I think as far as Project Cerberus goes, this was the first time that he had to do anything like this. And he was basically saving his team and saving himself in the process. We also get to see Frank in Micro's lair. I don't know what to call it. Cave, arrow cave, whatever you want to call it. And Micro's tied to a chair, and Frank is so paranoid. He's like, somebody else is coming. You're tied into somebody else. What's going on here? There's no explosives. What is the deal here? And you think he handled the situation well, or do you think he could have used some help there, Haley?
I don't think Frank ever handles most situations well. He's good when he's in a fight, but everything outside of a fight, he's paranoid and hostile and aggressive. And those are not good traits for just interacting with people in general.
I liked how Micro used Frank's, like, the basic training on how to torture. You know, Frank talks about how torture isn't pain, it's routine. And then how that routine is broken. You don't have time, you don't have this. And then Micro uses that alarm thing. It reminded me so much of Lost, where if you didn't push in the numbers, then something would happen and people didn't know if to believe it or not. And then there's Micro, ever so often, you got to make me do the code. You got to make me do the code. And then eventually he stabs Frank with, it looks like just like a pencil, but it's a sedative.
It's a syringe.
Yeah. And he was just able to go, hey, a routine gives you a false sense of security. And it makes you relax. And, you know, he got him.
He did. He didn't want to. He wanted Frank to trust him. That was never going to happen the way things were. I think Frank would have just let him die of thirst or starvation or something in that chair before he did anything to him. I don't think he would have taken that next step had Lieberman not drugged him. And then when Lieberman did drug him, he woke up. He had the gun on him, but he still couldn't move. He was still dealing with the effects of the sedative. So I don't know when exactly was the moment that Frank crossed that line into some sort of trust, but I don't think it would have happened naturally with Lieberman tied up.
No, Lieberman having the gun on Frank's chest and not tying him up and like giving him like a cup of tea, Micro knew. And Micro's like, look, we need each other. Let me be the man in the chair for you.
If I was Frank and if I had gone through that whole thing, I don't know if I would have trusted that tea. Would you have, Haley, if you were Frank in that particular case?
If Micro had wanted to do anything at that point, he could have. Like, Frank was already unconscious. What could possibly be in the tea? What could the tea possibly do at that point?
Yeah, true enough. Well, the two of them find out that they're linked about everything because Micro was the intelligent agent that passed along the intelligence that basically led Frank's family to get killed, but Frank was the one who initiated the shot to begin with and killed the Afghan cop. The two were unwitting pairs in each one's demise, and they at least come to that conclusion. If Frank's bitter about not having his family, while Lieberman does still have his family alive, but I don't know if there's a differentiation really between the two.
Well, and Lieberman also knew that the choices he was making were directly endangering his family. And Frank probably didn't know that at the time. And he's still telling himself that he's not the one that's responsible for his family's death.
We did see the point at which Lieberman was killed. They were trying to apprehend him or whatever. I don't think he was ever going to live off of that.
No, they weren't trying to apprehend him.
Yeah.
Yeah, Wolf kept saying he has a weapon, he has a weapon. And obviously, Lieberman did not have a weapon.
Hands up in the air.
Yeah, but Lieberman, he was all like, well, if I don't do the right thing, then what type of person am I to my kids? Like, what type of role model am I?
Sarah warned him, though. His wife, Sarah, she said, if you do this, whatever happens is then your fault.
Yeah, and it goes back to, like, in the group circle with, like, Lewis and everything about how friendly fire was actually covered up by the PR person, and this whole notion of, we are putting our lives on the line for our country, but then our country lies to protect itself, and it does all of these things, and who can we trust?
Apparently, you can trust nobody in the Marvel Universe, because everybody's going to double-cross you at some point.
True story.
Talking about double-crossing, Billy Russo definitely was around. You get the sense that they're trying to paint him as maybe a somewhat of a good guy throughout this whole thing. And he's given Curtis money to maintain this group. But I think he's giving Curtis money to maintain this group because he thinks that Frank might be coming around. And he actually searched for something when they went to Frank's grave. And Curtis basically said, Frank told me something about how he felt over there or whatever. Billy was like, when did he tell you that? And right then and there, I think Billy knows the gig is up. Frank was still alive and still talking to Curtis recently.
Yeah, Curtis tried to cover it up.
Well, and we know at this point in the Netflix Marvel universe to not trust a well-dressed white guy with money.
Right, and if you're Curtis, you've worked with Frank, you're taking money from Billy to continue this mission that he has with vets. The vets themselves are plotting, because we see a little bit of that with guns and stuff like that. Oh my gosh, with the one guy who is there, I can't remember his name, but then he gets freaked out in his home and he ends up shooting at his own dad.
That's Lewis.
Lewis is definitely mixed up and probably should not have a firearm at his side at this point.
I was thinking that, yeah.
Oh, America.
True. But we've seen it several times in the last few years that I don't think that's the best thing for a suffering returning service member. Over in the federal building, we see Dinah is still investigating Wolf's death. She finds $30 million, or at least Sam finds $30 million, and Sam reports it to her. It'll be interesting following that money and following what exactly Wolf was into, because it's not just the drug trade, as we know.
Again, another white guy with money.
Fair enough.
I like how Sam calls Dinah out on her hypocrisy, basically.
Yeah, about the trust factor.
Yeah. You know, Sam's like, hey, you come in here and you want to do your lone wolf, stick it to the guy investigation. And now you're the one in the chair and you're sort of acting like you want to cover stuff up and maybe not go after certain things. I like that he is like, hey, come on.
So, Haley, what was your overall impression of the episode?
Setup. Lots and lots of setup.
That's what I was thinking, too. There was a lot of stuff that happened, and at the end of the episode, it was like, well, what exactly happened? There was a lot that did, but there was no conclusion. I think the suspense about Frank imprisoning, interrogating Micro, that was some continued suspense. And then, of course, the fight in Afghanistan, that was a lot of action. I was actually on the elliptical at the time, and I kept the heart pumping during the latter part of my workout, so cool on that.
We end this episode with our mission set up. Frank and Micro are going to work together, and they're not collecting evidence. They're not bringing these guys to justice. They're killing these guys. Everybody that was involved.
Well, Frank wants to kill him. I think if it's up to Micro, he could take it or leave it. He's good with the killing.
No, he said, that's fine with me.
Right, but he doesn't necessarily need them killed. But in the grand scheme of things, if they're taken out, then he doesn't have to worry about them anymore. So it's a bonus for him. Michelle, what did you think overall of the episode?
I liked that we finally found out what happened in Kandahar.
It's Kandahar.
from Kandahar, sorry, like Afghanistan now. Like, it didn't drag out because people keep talking about this and that. We see a video. And because we find out the truth and how Frank and Micro are connected, and even Dinah's connected, now we can go forward, like Haley said, find the people that Frank's going to kill.
And if I'm remembering most of the Marvel Netflix series, it's in at least two, if not three arcs. So the first arc is first 3 to 5 episodes, and then we get at least a second arc for the rest of the series. Do you think this is going to be the same breakup, Haley, or do you think we're going to see something different?
I think they've kind of got a formula at this point, so we're probably nearing the end of the setup arc, and then we'll have the middle arc where they take on the second tier villain, and then the final arc that brings down the big bad.
Okay. Michelle, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I agree. It's a good way to, you know, a nice beginning, middle, and end. A nice way to break things up.
Okay. I'm looking forward to next week. We'll be covering The Punisher episode 4 called Resupply. And yeah, any predictions on what's going to happen next week, Haley?
I think Frank's going to get a lot of guns.
That's typical Frank. Michelle, would you concur with that?
Yeah, Frank needs guns. He doesn't have a lot of guns right now. He's going to need that because, you know, at the end, I love that he's like, look, I'm going to kill everybody. And Micro's just like, yeah, I can live with that. So they're going to need guns and grenades and other things that go boom.
Because it's the Punisher. I'm looking forward to that next week. In the meantime, Michelle, if you wanted to tell somebody, if they're looking for other great geeky content for the week here, what else should you recommend to them?
Well, we have a lot of podcasts on the GunnaGeek.com network, including the Intellectual Podcast. Episode 226, live from SD WhoCon. The Intellectual Podcast hosts David S. Dawson and Whitney Wegman chat with well-known Whovians, Travis Ritchie, Inspector Spacetime, Doc Phineas, Mark Biaggi, and Ben Patton. This lively discussion covered the history of Doctor Who, the progression of the show over the years, and the aspects of it that keep us all drawn into the adventure. Again, that's the Intellectual Podcast, episode 226.
So we hinted at this a little earlier when we were opening up this episode. Netflix has canceled Luke Cage.
According to sources, Netflix was not particularly impressed with the delivered season 3 scripts. The writer's room was recently put on hold, and they hear behind the scenes turmoil ensued this week. There was a disagreement between the sides on creative direction and possible personnel changes, leading to the cancellation. Now, we talked about how Netflix has these shows, and they're supposed to be theirs, and it's their decision to cancel them or not. Netflix has also canceled Orange is the New Black. I know the second season of Luke Cage was not as well received as the first, and perhaps it just didn't draw the numbers as the other ones are. Like, the new season of Daredevil, people are just raving about it and talking about it. So I don't think Daredevil's in trouble. But, you know, creative differences, sometimes that will lead to it. Now, I know SP is going to go on. The Disney did it because of the streaming service. So SP, go right on ahead.
I'm not going to say Disney did it, but I'm going to say Disney probably is not making it profitable for Netflix. They do control Marvel Studios. Marvel Studios is what is actually filming the episodes. Yes, it is a Netflix show, but it's in conjunction with Marvel Studios. They might have not have placed their best foot forward, knowing that the Disney streaming service is coming in a few short months, and not really want to sink many long-term resources into that. It could have been as simple as that, and that could have led to the downfall, the creative downfall of the show.
I've been wondering since I heard about the Luke Cage cancellation, or actually I was thinking this after the Iron Fist, that maybe they were going to bring him into Luke Cage and put those two together to do a show. And then after this cancellation, I was wondering if maybe they wanted to launch a new show around those two characters as a team.
let's back up a second. We've heard from all parties involved that the Defenders probably was likely not to get a season two ever again, which I liked it. And I know a lot of people did. I know a lot of people said they could have been done better. But once Disney announced their streaming service and once we heard that there wasn't going to be a Defenders season two, so what's the point of having all these Netflix Marvel universes going on their own? Yeah, you can transport characters back and forth. I'm not even going to say secondary characters because, like, I don't know if I would call Karen Page a secondary character. She's a prime character and she's going back and forth, same as Claire. I think that the writing was on the wall and we're just waiting for the rest of the collapse. Now, what I don't want to say is that Disney streaming is going to take those two shows, Luke Cage and Iron Fist, and throw them on their streaming service. I don't think that's it. I think when it boils down to is the same that happened with Marvel Comics and that the film rights for the Marvel characters, eventually Marvel, now owned by Disney, they want that back. So they're going to make moves to make that happen. We've already seen it with the comic books for...
I think it makes sense that they don't want, in the long run, to have their intellectual property spread out over a bunch of different services. They want to let what's out there kind of run its course and then bring it all in into the House of the Mouse and have it all completely under their control and all in one place.
Right. Again, I'm not saying that Disney called for the cancellation of these shows. Netflix obviously did. What I'm saying is Disney probably did some things behind the scenes to not make it as lucrative as it might have been.
I wonder what that means for Hulu and The Runaways.
Well, I think Disney is the biggest owner of Hulu at this point, especially after the Fox acquisition, right?
Oh, yeah.
ABC or Disney? I don't know who's going to end up owning what, but yeah, basically, yeah.
Oh, that's right, because we thought Hulu might be the Disney streaming service, but it's not. Yeah. It's an actual separate thing, which I'm not going to pay for. Are either of you going to pay for it?
I don't know. We'll have to wait and see.
I don't want to. I'll tell you that much. I really don't want to. If it's low, I got a deal that was emailed to me, like Hulu $5.99 for a year. That's actually enticing for me. Now, remember, I pay cable and then I pay for two streaming services, which is Amazon Prime and Netflix. And because I have cable, I don't want to really pay for other streaming services. So I don't have Hulu. But when that $5.99 deal came and it was for a year, I was like, maybe. For $5.99 for Hulu, but then I thought of all the stuff that Hulu doesn't have anymore. Like, well, it's probably only worth $5.99 of my money because they don't have the CBS All Access stuff and everything else on there anymore. So I don't know. I'm not planning on paying for it.
I was in the same boat. Like, Hulu is almost what I want, but there's enough shows that they don't have. There's a lot of stuff that you don't know exactly. Like, it's going to go on Hulu the next day, but you don't know when the next day. It could happen in the middle of the night while you're sleeping, and then it's there when you wake up, or it could be the middle of the day the next day. You don't know when it's going to arrive. Also, there's a lot of content that they don't have, which is why I ended up at PlayStation View for a long time, and then I'm over to DirecTV now. So you're going to have to give me a lot of bang for my buck with this new Disney streaming service to make it worth it for me. I've got Amazon Prime, but I've got that more for the Amazon part than the streaming services and Netflix.
Disney's going to have a lot of Prime content on their streaming service. Make no bones about it. They actually have created quite the empire between Marvel and Star Wars and the traditional Disney stuff, and they've got ABC stuff. So when you combine it all, it's almost looks like it's going to be worth it, but I have to see on what's available there versus what's available on my other
stuff.
Yeah,
it's going to be what kind of exclusive content do they have? And if they're making new Marvel television shows over there or new Star Wars television shows, like, you know, exclusive content there, maybe. But if it's just like, oh, here's our back catalog of movies and stuff, I own the movies that I want to watch already.
At least for now. In the future, then it'll all be going over there. Now, new Star Wars content. I mean, there's several different series in development. Resistance just started airing. I took a look at it and I will watch it because I can, because I have Disney now through my cable subscription. It's being aired on my Disney channel. But if I didn't have that, I don't know if I'd go out, because it's not the amazing Clone Wars. It's not what Rebels turned out to be. So if you take shows like that and put it on Disney streaming service, I'm not sure that that's going to entice me. But if you put other good stuff on there, that's going to be something else altogether. So it really depends on what their programming slate looks like.
Definitely. Well, the last bit of news this week is that we're finally getting a look at Tom Holland's new Spider-Man costume.
It was really cute. On October 18th on Jimmy Kimmel Live, his co-host or sidekick, Guillermo, came out wearing the Spider-Man mask, going pew, 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 pew with his hands, like, you know, pretending to throw out spider webs. And then all of a sudden, Tom Holland comes out, you know, in like the Spider-Man costume, wearing a cone over his head, trying to chase him around. And then, you know, finally he takes it off and everyone's like, "Woo, it's Tom Holland in the suit." And it's an interesting suit. It's darker than the one from Homecoming. It looks pretty good.
I guess the big question is, how does he get from Thanos to this movie?
I know that was brought up, and Tom Holland's just like, "I don't know what you're talking about. In fact, I think Thanos is robbing a bank, so I have to go take care of that."
They probably haven't told him because they don't want him to reveal it.
That's probably true. I've heard that it's supposed to take, maybe, I don't remember. I think I heard rumors that it's supposed to take place before the events of Infinity War.
Kind of like an Ant-Man and the Wasp sort of time frame.
Maybe, who knows?
But doesn't the movie come out after Avengers 4?
Yeah, way after, isn't it? 2020?
Okay, who knows? I don't know then.
Maybe that's what they told Tom Holland.
What, yeah, but it really comes out next week.
Yeah.
And it's a surprise to him because he has no clue. They just, who knows with him?
So he filmed the movie and didn't realize it?
Yeah, that's probably what happened.
They're like, "No, this is promo material."
Yeah. "Here, read these lines. Why four? They're just practice, Tom. It's just practice."
With Kevin Feige involved, it was a really good movie, and I'm looking forward to this movie as well. It's just really weird because it is part of the MCU, but it's not part of the MCU. So it's like, I don't know what to think about it.
It is part of the MCU.
Yeah, it is.
It's the Venom movie that's not part of the MCU.
What's the Venom movie?
I haven't seen it yet.
I haven't either. I have no desire to.
I still haven't seen Ant-Man and the Wasp, guys. It's real bad.
Oh, that's out now on Blu-ray.
I know. I know it is. I'm probably going to end up buying the Blu-ray before I actually see it.
Well, sure. Why not? There's lots of special effects there and everything. I mean, it's a good, fun watch. All you have to do is find a couple hours, watch it.
Oh, let me just carve that out of my schedule.
Yeah, kind of figured. All right. Well, that's it for the news discussion this week. And that's it for all of our discussion this week. And we are going to politely take our chairs and roll this one out. Thanks to everybody that has been tweeting back at us for some great feedback and discussions back and forth on different things. And thanks to Born to Eat Bacon, I received my new bands. So this is the Daredevil one. Ooh. I'll be wearing it when we actually podcast on Daredevil, but got a few others there. So thank you very much to our fans.
Yeah, thank you to everybody that's listened along over the long hiatus that is nowhere near its end. We appreciate everybody that's hanging around with us, everybody that's watched ahead in the Netflix shows to let us know that we've got good stuff to look forward to. And I can't wait till we get to watch it.
Yeah, thank you to everyone who listens and interacts with us. We really appreciate it.
And we're looking forward to Agent Lauren coming back next week. Until next time, I'm Director Espy.
I'm Agent Haley.
And I'm Consultant Michelle.
See y'all next time. Bye.
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 Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to gunnageek.com and you will find all our contact information and other shows. You can also visit legendsofshield.com where you'll find our complete archive of podcasts. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin MacLeod, found at incompetech.com, and also artists on pond5.com and audiojungle.net. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual hosts and do not represent Stargate Pioneer Productions, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., or Gunna Geek. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the property of the Disney Corporation. Marvel Studios, and ABC. No infringement is intended.
I knew the day would come when I would say this, but that Keurig just isn't fast enough.
A couple months ago, I had to take my Keurig apart because it quit working, but I made it work again, and it works better than it did for like a year and a half before that.
Was the inside crudded up with calcium deposits?
Just like the very tip of the little hose, right where it attaches to go through the coffee part.
How did you know? I've tried to take them apart before, and
kind of a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's like a lot of hidden screws. You have to watch a YouTube video.
Oh.
But I'm really good at watching a YouTube video and then being able to fix things.
Yeah. That's the NVQ of modern day, right? I watch Doctor Who.
Mm-hmm. All right. I haven't seen this week's episode yet, though.
I haven't either.
You know, my mom actually started watching Doctor Who.
That's a good season to start with. Good season. So far, it's been able to explain everything. So if you're a new viewer, get taken along for the ride.
So I got a Roku Express yesterday to replace the ancient Roku stick that I had in my office.
Okay.
Because some of the apps weren't working on it anymore because it was really old. And my TV won't turn off now. Like if I turn it off, it just turns back on.
Is the Express, it's not a stick, right? It's a set-top box?
Sort of.
Well, it's not a stick that plugs right in, right?
No. Yeah, I guess it is technically a set-top box.
I don't know. There's no way to turn it off.
I know.
Maybe you should watch a YouTube video.
Sometimes I have to unplug mine and then wait for a little bit and then reset it.
Have you tried all the HDMI ports?
Well, I found out yesterday when I was trying to set it up that one of my HDMI ports doesn't work anymore on this old TV. But this is a really old TV. I don't use it that often. But I would like to not have a TV on in an empty room all the time.
Right. Yeah, I've been slowly placing stuff like that that doesn't work. And there's a sale or something. My TV in the workout room, which is supposed to be hooked up to 15 different things, does not work through. It's not a TV problem. It's the receiver problem. I need to buy a new receiver.
I don't know. As little as I use this TV in this room, I'm not that worried about replacing it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I went with a Roku Express.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you might just need to unplug the something, whether it's the Express or the TV, and it's not in use.
Yes.
Yeah. What if you change the input? Does it still come on automatically? And then if there's a setting that automatically pops it on, like if it's an MHL input,
changing the input worked.
Okay.
Staying off now.
There you go. It's officially jury-rigged.
Yay, we fixed it.
Go team.
I swear I'm forgetting something. Chat. That's what I'm saying.
Did you push record? Is your SD card actually in the thing?
Mm-hmm. I got a red clock and it's running.
Do you see waveforms?
Test. I do.
Okay.
And I Good do job. From you. And
excellent.
That's good too.
That's one of my better shocked gasps. Like I had the right amount of air.
Yeah, that's why I put it on the sound card. I haven't used it in a long time though.
Do you know what that was in reaction of?
Yes. Lauren told me she'd never watched The West Wing before.
That kind of shocked me too. So I thought she would love that show.
She would. And I know right after the election, I watched Parks and Rec to make me happy. And then I watched The West Wing to pretend like we had a different president.
Why not?
Yep.
It's all on television anyway. I would agree. If he hasn't done it before, this would definitely be the first Punisher fight in Frank Castle's life. What do you think about that, Haley?
Sorry, can you repeat that?
Okay, so the fight in the house, the targets dwelling in Kandahar was basically the first fight, the first Punisher fight in Frank Castle's life.
Maybe. I mean, we don't know that for sure. We don't know what kind of missions they were going on in the year before this. So it might not be. It's just the first one, the earliest one in his timeline that we've seen.
How's kickball today, Haley?
No game this week because there's a festival in town.
Yeah, so we could have gone earlier today.
I didn't figure you wanted to move the time every week based on what time my game was. So
yeah,
just roll with the time we have for the season.
How long's the season?
I think it's through November.
So a week after Thanksgiving?
Or end of November, maybe beginning of December. I don't know. I'll have to look at the schedule again.
Okay.
I don't know. I haven't actually played a game yet because the first game I was out of town. Second game got rained out. This is the third week where there is no game. So I have not actually played kickball yet.
But you've gone out to practice?
No, I haven't. Because like there are a few practices where like I already had other stuff going on when they announced them, and then a few that got rained out. So I have not played kickball still since fourth grade. Third grade, whenever the last time I played kickball was.
Is this like a co-ed league where they need X amount of girls on the team in order to compete?
No, it's an LGBT league, and they don't have any requirements for like how many boys and girls on each team.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yep.
How'd you get involved in this one?
Just through a meetup group.
Okay. Same meetup group you've been going to trivia nights with and stuff?
No, that's a different group. I'm in several meetup groups.
Okay. As long as you're having fun.
Yep.
What's the balloon for?
Oh, those were for my birthday. One of them's shaped like a T-Rex.
Nice. Happy birthday. Broadcast has been successfully terminated.
Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is copyright 2018.